With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
The gospel writers intrigue me because of how the Holy Spirit led them, yet they consciously worked their way through their writing about the life and ministry of Jesus, and except for Mark, from his birth until his ascension. And there are many things that they write that overlap, but each one of them is absorbed by the leading of the Spirit and their own interest that the Spirit of God is using to emphasize certain things and to arrange it a certain way.
Welcome. Stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part one of the message, The Resurrection Day Ministry of Christ. Three encounters, one lesson. In Luke 24, we see three ministry encounters that took place on the Lord's Resurrection Day. In the first encounter, Jesus is risen, but he is not there, and the people don't believe. In the second encounter, he is risen, and he is there, but the people don't recognize him and don't believe. In the third encounter, he is risen, he is there, and they recognize him, but they are still not believing. The one thing in common in all three encounters is that no one is believing in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, a reality that is tragically all too common in our world today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 24. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, The Resurrection Day Ministry of Christ. Three encounters, one lesson.
We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter, and I'm going to do something I don't normally do. Instead of drilling down in a couple of verses, we're going to look at about 30,000 feet of a number of verses throughout chapter 24 today. So how about making sure you've got a Bible handy, either that electronic Bible or hopefully one that you can put your hands on and sense and feel and make your way through it with me? Luke chapter 24 in your copies of God's Word. Now, if you would, let's take a look at chapter 24 and the opening verses, verses 1 through 12. This is God's Word. God's Word is the truth. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Now we also know John went with him from another gospel. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And then he went home marveling in what had happened. The grass withers, the flower fades. God's word abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. Well, as Cindy and I were pulling in this morning, and I could not help but look throughout the parking lot and see all the cars that were missing, and therefore all of the people. Normally, of course, these services are filled on Resurrection Lord's Day and the sunrise service and the two worship services and our evening time together, but not so. You're missing. I can't see you here. You're not here. Now I'm believing you're here. I'm believing you're watching us and participating and we are taking advantage of this technology, but you are missing. But Jesus is here. I know that. But interesting, on the first Lord's Day, when they went to the tomb, by the way, it ended up about 10. So the first Lord's Day had about 10. At the sunrise service, you had Mary, that is the other Mary, the mother of James, the wife of Clopas or Alphaeus, James the younger. And then you had Mary Magdalene, and you had Joanna and Susanna, who were of the Herodian palace and had been followers of Jesus. And it says some other women. And then you've got Peter and John that run to the tomb. So we've got 4 and 2 is 6. And then we've got a couple of angels who are there in appearance as men. And so now we're up to about 8. And then it says some other women. So we've got about 10 there. And guess what? Jesus is not there. He is risen. And that is an interesting statement. You know, the gospel writers intrigue me. They intrigue me because of how the Holy Spirit led them, yet they consciously worked their way through their writing about the life and ministry of Jesus, and except for Mark, from his birth until his ascension. And there are many things that they write that overlap, but each one of them is absorbed by the leading of the Spirit and their own interest that the Spirit of God is using to emphasize certain things and to arrange it a certain way. Now, I confess to you that of all the gospel writers, I am most intrigued by Luke. Number 2 for me would be Matthew, but number 1 is Luke. Luke is a doctor. Luke is a historian. Luke is a journalist. He is an author, and he does what every author does. Not only do you take a lot of time thinking of the words you're writing, you take a lot of time in research. That's one of our problems today with quote-unquote fake news, is they don't do the research. But Luke did the research. In fact, Luke has put together an apologetic, a defense of the faith, a proclamation of the gospel. He's writing to Theophilus. Now, Theophilus is either an actual individual, but it could possibly be a name that he has established because of his desire. What does he want all of his readers to do? Love God. What does the word Theophilus mean? Theo, God, philos, phileo, a lover of God. Now that's either an actual person, maybe a ruler of some kind, or that is what he actually desires everyone who reads his gospel would become. And he arranges the entire gospel very interestingly, and he does not stop at chapter 24. Now, don't jump ahead reading yet. But let me just go ahead and tell you, chapter 24 is really focused on the first day of the resurrection. Unlike the other writers, Luke does not get involved in the 40 days of the life and ministry of Jesus after the resurrection. Luke 24 gives us the first day, and then at the end, it gives us the ascension day. But he doesn't handle the other 39 days. Now, they're handled, and we know Jesus makes 15 appearances. We know that Jesus teaches many, 500 here, all of these that he taught and all that he did. And John says, if I was to record everything he said and did, the world couldn't contain the books. But Luke is focused. He is not only diligent in his content, he is diligent in his design. And in chapter 24, he takes the first day. And he is very selective. He doesn't talk about Jesus. Now, all these people we're reading about in Luke 24, disciples to Emmaus, Joanna, Susanna, Mary, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the other Mary. the two disciples, as I said, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples are in there. My guess is Luke, while Paul is in prison at Caesarea by the sea for over 2 years, Luke is going around interviewing all these people. So he knows what all is taking place in those 40 days after the resurrection. And by the way, he knows what's taking place on the first day. He doesn't give us everything on the first day. He doesn't talk about Jesus' interview with Mary Magdalene. He doesn't talk about Jesus appearing to James. He doesn't talk about Jesus appearing to Peter. Yet we know on the first day he did. He doesn't talk about Jesus appearing to the other women. Yet we know from other gospel writers he did. He focuses on three events. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, and one that night. Three encounters, risen Christ, but there's one lesson. Now, are there sub-lessons all over it? Yes, I could preach in Luke 24 until I go to meet Jesus. There are many insights, but there's one at 30,000 feet. The arrangement of these three encounters is communicating a central truth to you about your relationship with the risen Christ as Savior and as Lord. One unmistakable lesson about your relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior, and then after He is your Savior, the implications of His Lordship in your life. Now, that doesn't mean after He becomes your Savior, He becomes Lord. No, He's Lord from the very beginning, but the implications of His Lordship afterwards. Now, you've already read with me the morning encounter, haven't you? So they arrive there early in the morning. We know there's at least four women, and there's some others. We don't know how many others. It just says the other women. We know four of them, Joanna, Susanna, the other Mary, and Mary Magdalene. And we also know that they have come prepared to do what? Anoint the body of Jesus. They're convinced He's dead. Why would you bring the spices if you didn't think He was dead? They're coming to anoint His body. His dead body. Where? In the place of the dead. A garden tomb. They're absolutely convinced. Now, what they forgot to do, they know the tomb. They know where Jesus is. And they know He's dead. And then they got to thinking on the way, according to the other gospel writers, well, who's going to move the stone for us? There's something we forgot. And then they arrived there, and of course we know about the angelic work, we know about the earthquake, and the stone is, quote unquote, according to Mark, blown away, and there is the tomb that is open, and they run, and they look in, and the tomb is empty. Now it is empty, and they are what? Well, let me tell you what they don't do. They don't say, it's empty. Oh, yes. Didn't He say that He was going to rise on the third day? Wow. How did we forget that? No, it says they're perplexed. It says they're confused. In fact, their immediate thought, as emphasized by Mary Magdalene, is, hey, can you tell me who took His body? Who took His body? And then two angels, appearing as men, drive the point home. I've often thought, how should I emphasize this? Why do you seek the living among the dead? I thought about, why do you seek the living among the dead? I thought, why do you seek the living among the dead? You ought to know He's living and He's not with the dead. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, they're seeking Jesus among the dead because they're convinced He's dead in the tomb. And by the way, let's finish anointing. We didn't get the whole job done. We only got some of the spices done. Let's come back and finish the job. That's what they, in fact, they had found some time after resting on the Sabbath. Now, let me just say, folks, no one admires these women more than me. They're the last. They're at the cross. They're at the tomb. They find out where it is because they're going to come back, and they're the first at the tomb. And I admire them. Their strength is amazing. That's a whole discussion, how these big, strong men are fleeing, and these women women show up. I have my own little idea about the strength of women that shows up under emotional duress. That's my idea, but I'm not going to preach on that right now. What I will say to you is that I admire them for being there, but the fact is they don't believe in the resurrection. And when he's resurrected and not there, isn't it interesting? These three encounters, you got to hang with me now. These three encounters, the first one, he's risen, but not there. And they don't believe. The second encounter, he's risen, he's there, but they don't believe and don't recognize him. The third encounter, he's risen, he's there, they recognize him, but they're still not believing. This must be an apparition. In every single one of these, even though the risen Savior not there, is there, recognized, is there, not recognized, the thing that's common is nobody is believing. Nobody is believing. Then the angels drive the point home. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's how I solved it. I don't emphasize. I'll emphasize all of them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Did he not tell you in Galilee? Folks, go check me. Not right now. Go check me. The one thing that Jesus taught that he repeated the most was, I am going to Jerusalem. I am going to be delivered up by the scribes and the Pharisees. I am going to be crucified, and I will rise on the third day. He repeated that, according to the gospel accounts, more than anything else he said. So why would you be here today? This is the third day. Why are you coming to the place of the dead to see the one who told you he'll be living? Why are you here? You have been instructed. You have heard God's word. Why would you be here? Well, then it says they remembered. Oh, yeah, maybe he did say something about that. And then they make their way to the disciples to tell them. And as they make their way to the disciples, and they come into the disciples and say, hey, we got there. And I don't know how exactly how they said it, but it's something like this. Hey, we got there. The tomb was empty. Two angels are there. Jesus wasn't there. And the angel said to us, why do you seek the living among the dead? And they reminded us, guys, remember when Jesus taught all of us, he's going to be delivered up. He's going to be crucified. On the third day, he's going to rise again. And the tomb is empty. And they dismissed it as an idle tale. Oh my goodness. Obviously you've got something wrong. Not, oh, yes. No, your report must be wrong. Your gathering of the data must be wrong. What you're telling us, oh, I know there's more than there's 5, 6, 7, 8 of you, but hey, it doesn't matter. There's no way that it can be true. But Peter and John, Luke emphasizes Peter, they go. And as you know, John outran him. I love what Bruce said at the sunrise service, is that two things you know about this is that John's faster than Peter. And the other is that when they get there, Peter's bolder than John. That'll preach. I may use that a bunch of times in the future, giving credit, of course. I really like that. That's what happens. But Peter wants to know. You can imagine Peter is walking with a lot of shame and guilt with his denials. And Peter goes to find out. Well, now we fast forward to the afternoon and you get the second encounter. Would you follow along with me? Would you open your Bibles? Make sure they're in front of you. Look at Luke chapter 24 and follow along with me at verse 13. Now that very day, so we're still on that first resurrection Lord's Day. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. So we've got an encounter at an empty tomb. Now we're going to have an encounter on the Emmaus Road. That very day, two of them going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you were holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, Now Jesus isn't quite as gracious at this point as the angels were. He's pretty pointed. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Please note, he didn't say slow of heart to believe the women. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. So in other words, they've now arrived at Emmaus and at their home. And Jesus has now been invited in, even though he was willing to move on further, but they invited him in and he was ready to go in. And when they did, they sat down. But now Jesus, the guest, takes over and becomes the host. Here's what happens. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. How many times had that happened in front of them? And then when he did, their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So here's our second encounter. The first, at an empty tomb. The second, on Emmaus. The first one, Jesus is risen but not present. But the women don't believe and the disciples don't believe. The women confused, the disciples dismissive. Now he is risen and present, but they didn't recognize him. Interestingly, it says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And then they begin to share. Well, you know, here's this Jesus. We loved him. We followed him. We thought he was the Redeemer. We thought he was the Messiah. And then they crucified him. Now, this is the third day, and there's something ringing in their mind. This is the third day. And these women have come and said that the tomb is empty and that they saw a vision of angels. And we just don't understand of this. And we are told by Jesus, who diagnoses them, is that they have a depressed or downcast, slow heart. Perhaps the reason they don't recognize him is they're not looking for him because their heart is not being informed by the Word of God. It's being informed by others and experiences, but not the Word of God. And so they're trying to catalog all this. They're trying to understand this. And they're not sorting through it from the scriptures. They're sorting through it from their imagination instead of divine revelation. And they begin to work their way through it. And they're absolutely confused. And Jesus cuts to the quick, foolish ones. Foolish ones. And what is his remedy? Listen, can I not convince you that Joanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene are reliable witnesses? Can't I convince you that angels should be believed when they show up? This isn't the first time. He doesn't take them to the witnesses, although they're reliable. He doesn't take them to the experience, although it is true. He takes them to the Word. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, you are slow to believe the prophets, the Word of God, their Bible at that time. We call it the Old Testament, which was filled with prophetic words of the Redeemer, His atoning death, and His third day resurrection. And you have dismissed that. You have not believed that. That's what you have not done. You have not believed the Word.
Delve deeply into the Holy Scriptures every day with faith and prayer, and believe what they declare about the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request The Resurrection Day Ministry of Christ, 3 Encounters, 1 Lesson, or simply ask for message number 15451. Again, that's message number 15451. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email us inperspective@briarwood.org. Remember that bedtime prayer you recited as a child? If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. What exactly did that simple prayer mean? Where will you spend eternity when this short stay on earth is over? Harry Reader's 6th sermon collection entitled Eternity in Biblical Perspective offers an opportunity to examine your eternal future. Where do we go immediately after we die? What will heaven and hell be like? What about the judgment? And where will the believer's forever home reside? Harry Reader gives us a detailed description of eternity in this 6th CD album set we've entitled Eternity in Biblical Perspective. The entire series is yours for just $18. To order your copy, visit our web store at briarwood.org/eternity. Again, that's briarwood.org/eternity. We hope the teaching you hear on In Perspective is helping you understand and apply God's Word to your life. You can listen to In Perspective anytime, anywhere via the Briarwood app. Simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to this program, along with a number of other great Christian resources, including audio, video, and written resources. The app is yours, free of charge. We do hope that In Perspective is encouraging your walk with Christ. We'd love to hear back from you. Write Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.